You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, Brandon and Travis reflect on the week that was last week. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hi, Brandon. What, I mean, killer job fading that music out. You really look like you were focusing on it this time.
Yeah, no, I was totally. Did it not look like I was focusing on fading out the music?
No, you did. You looked like you really were.
Oh,
That's why I said it. I'm a genuine person, Brandon. I wouldn't blow smoke or anything of the nature.
Yeah, no, I know, because you've never smoked in your life.
True. Factual yep. Of anything. Not a cigarette, not a cigar, not any whacky tobacco.
Yeah.
That's what the kids are calling it now, right?
It is.
At the dispensaries. They go, can I get any whacky tobacco? You got any of that?
Not a brisket? Not ribs?
Oh, I have used an electric smoker to smoke meat.
Oh,
But I never inhaled. I never inhaled.
You wouldn't. Anytime you smoked any meat, you used a gas mask. You're like, no,
that's right.
I will not inhale. Right. I promise.
Got to keep these lungs pure. You know what they say. Welcome everybody to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where Brandon and I we chat. If you wanted to know what it was like to have a good friend that you've known for over 15, almost 20 years. And you only really talk to him once a week, and then you share that conversation with the internet. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yeah, this is the place for you. For a second there, what I thought you were doing, Travis, was about to like call me out for missing like an important date.
No,
you're like,
no.
If you've ever had a friend that you've had for 15 to 20 years and
And just completely leaves you hanging at a bus stop in Topeka, Kansas, when they said they would be there 26 years ago, they committed to it.
This is the podcast for you. Yeah, this is Apathetic Enthusiasm, where we talk about stuff. And, you know, I couldn't imagine somebody I would rather be with right now than you, Travis, talking about stuff. We're
not your family. Not your best friend, Matt Sizemore.
No.
Not your work friends.
Nope.
No.
If people wanted to talk with us about stuff that they hear on this show, where can they reach us?
Leave us a voice note in my Facebook messages.
No, that's the Swivel Boys. That's the Swivel Boys.
Oh, Swivel Boys. We do have one voice note preloaded in the can.
No shit.
Ready for our episode.
Are you doing
real talk?
Are you doing me right now?
I'm not even doing you. I have it. I haven't listened to it though. I'm keeping it fresh.
Ooh, okay.
For the pod. But if you want to contact us, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. You can send us emails, apathetic enthusiasm show@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Or go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can also watch video versions of this podcast, see which one is which over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And then finally, support all of our podcasts at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. I'm going to say three out of the six ways that I just rattled off for you to get in touch with us allow you to send us voice notes. If you follow us on Facebook, you could send us an email voice note, or you could probably go to Instagram and like try to send us a DM and like maybe we'll accept it. But I think all of those are ways you could send us voice notes. So if you want to send us a voice note, we'll play it. Probably.
Yeah.
Like bar is very low on this podcast, guys. Like we'll probably do it. So if you want to be part of the show, shoot us a voice note. Ask us a question. Be part of the program.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want us to talk about, and
we will
do it.
Tell us what you want to talk about. You know, if you send us a voice message, I tell you what, I will make this guarantee right now. If you send us,
this is a Brandon Cruz guarantee.
If you send us a voice memo, we will talk about whatever it is that you. you say to us, right? We'll play it on the air. We will bleep it out because I'm assuming most of you are racists and and murderers.
Why is that the assumption you make out of the people that listen to this podcast?
Because, you know, people who are racists and murderers, they love listening to like things outside their box, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And
that track.
They're like, we want to be heard. So if you are a racist and a murderer, hit us up
on the social links, and we should restart our X account,
and we will tell you why you are wrong.
I like the turn on that.
Yeah,
it took a minute to get there, but I'm glad.
Maybe we can convince you to turn a new leaf and respect all of humanity instead of the one piece of humanity that you really
would be fascinating if after like 15 years of podcasting or however long we've been doing this, apathetic enthusiasm suddenly becomes where we just talk down like racists and fascists, and we're just like, it just became a platform where we just like individually one by one start changing people's minds about their fundamental beliefs. I'm here for it. Hit us up in the comments.
It'd be such a beautiful long game. Well, like the long game that neither of us actually intended until this episode.
Tonight on NBC Nightly News, we talk about two podcasters who got their start doing a Walking Dead fantasy football league, but are now changing the hearts and minds of radical extremists. More at 5.
Where did you get started, Brandon? Yeah, you know, the chief I worked for got us into the Hawaii Comic Con, and we talked to like a cosplayer or two, and it was kind of cool. I walked.
Stan Lee rolled past our booth on his wheelchair once.
I walked around the convention floor with a camera setup and a mic setup, and I didn't film or record anything because I was so nervous. And in my own head about shit.
Yeah, that's funny. I was walking around. It was our annual pilgrimage, the Menard family pilgrimage up to scenic Omaha, Nebraska, where we went to visit what I can only say is the Disneyland of pumpkin patches. It is a family farm in rural Nebraska. I mean, it's not that rural. It's still, you know, 20 minutes from like downtown Omaha. But yeah, when we first started going to this almost 10 years ago, it was probably half the size and like had a lot of things that you like would expect to see at like a pumpkin patch. Obviously pumpkins, lots of pumpkins. They had like a corn maze, some kind of little games, like a couple little haunted houses and things like that. In the last decade, this place has doubled in size. And I say that conservatively. I think it's at least doubled in size.
Because they're in Nebraska.
Conservative. Conservative. Let's not get into Nebraska politics, but
okay.
Interesting dynamic, especially in like the one district right around Omaha and Lincoln, I think. But anyway, so they've added like all these apple orchards. And so they brew their own cider. They do hard apple cider, and boy, howdy, you can find it everywhere there now. Like, The 20 somethings are coming out in droves on a Saturday in clothing that does not seem appropriate for walking around a farm to just get crunk on that cider. You heard? I think that's how
I don't think you're a farm worker at all.
I don't think those shoes are appropriate for the farm. Like, those heels are much too high. Yeah, but like it's fun. It is a trip that, like, obviously when we lived in the area, we would go all the time because it was close, and my kids loved it. When they're really young, lots of fun things for kids to do and play on. The farm has kind of grown with my kids, where there's like they've added more like rides and stuff every year. So there's sort of like state fair type rides, but like they just added like one of those swing things where it like goes around in a circle and it's like the big swings. They've added like a carousel, some like little cars you can drive around. Like, but it's they're definitely taking all of this money and they've got to be making crazy amounts of money and just putting it back into the farm to like reinvest it. And so we drive the 6.5 hours. We spend a weekend in Nebraska. It helps that like my sister-in-law lives there. So like we have an excuse, like when people say, why are you driving 6.5 hours for a pumpkin patch? Like, oh, well, you know, we got family there, too. So, you know, that makes sense. But we lived there for a significant period of my kids' childhood. So there's like a little bit of nostalgia, a little bit of like, go and check out the old haunts, go to some restaurants, places that
haunts.
Yeah, the haunts. go have the best ice cream that I've ever had. That's worth the 6 hour drive alone. But yeah, so like that's what we did this weekend. And it was really cool because, you know, eagle-eared listeners know my kid's been kind of sick over the last year or so. And we haven't gotten to go do like a lot of trips or anything. Yeah. So this was like a safe, reasonably distanced trip that fell right in the perfect time during her treatment to where she was feeling pretty good. We could get up there and get back in a weekend. And it's just really, really awesome that we got to do that. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
What I would say is, you know, 6.5 hours for a family tradition type of thing, like that's not too bad, right? It's you get to spend time with your family, all your kids, your wonderful wife, Sheena. And like that's good, right? Like I go to New Mexico, to Miami, New Mexico. There are no rides.
There's no cider.
I might end up digging another shitter hole. It's just
nobody's pumping out hot apple cider donuts.
No, like, no. If anything, my dad and my uncle stay up till 6 a.m. drinking and getting into their arguments about, you know, lingering resentments. And I go to bed at like 1 a.m. and I wake up and then I get woken up, you know, like.
The interesting thing is they both end up smelling like campfires.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing.
And that takes me 16 hours to get to. So, you know, like 6.5 hours is not too bad, Travis. It's so cool that you get to do that, that you guys have something like that. It's really fantastic. It's the first time that we saw Rick and Morty, I think, was at the
they do. I talk.
Do they still have it?
About this. They still have the legally safe ripoff of Rick and Morty at the farm adventure rides or whatever. There's a guy driving a tractor that has like a train of these probably like 10 little bucket type cars that you hop into two people to a bucket. And it just drives you around a little trail, and they just have like little animatronic stations and stuff. Some of them very old, but iconic. Like my family sings songs from these stupid little stops. Like, like when it's not fall, when we're not there, we do that. But they've added little things throughout the years, and one of them is right at the entrance, and on a huge barn facade, it says it's not Doc and Marty, because that's what it's supposed to be,
right.
But it's like, it's, what is it, Rick and Mart, like, oh, I can't remember what it is. If only I had pictures from literally 2 days ago when I was just there. Here we go. It is Nick and Marty's Mad Farmer Experiment. And this was, they came up with the idea at the height of Pickle Rickism, right? When Pickle Rick was everything. And so there's a little animatronic Marty that's talking on the side and a big old Rick in like a cylinder. And the cylinder spins a few times. And then it's like the cheap like magic trick where one of the times when the cylinder spins, the turntable spins as well. And the full size Rick that's in farmer overalls, by the way, and a lab coat, turns into a pumpkin with Rick's face on it. And he's Pumpkin Nick. Look, I turned myself into a pumpkin. I'm Pumpkin Nick. And then the little Marty's just like, oh, what? Why'd you do that, Nick? I do appreciate, as a Rick and Morty podcaster, that there is a shelf on the side of the barn that has very similar looking things to that shelf in Rick's garage. So right. There's like time travel stuff and like a little like skull or something and things up there. But anyway, yeah, I love that. I did. I paid a visit to it. I actually brought the little gimbal thing that we took to Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just like filmed a bunch of stuff, like some of the walkthrough attractions and things. Just filmed like a lot more than I normally would. And then on the 6-hour drive back, Sheena drove almost the entire time. So I was sitting there on my phone just like editing video and producing an Instagram reel.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's crazy about that is women don't usually drive. And so, you know, the fact that Sheena drove.
Hit us up in the comments.
That's right. Racists, murderers, and sexists.
Misogyny. We got it for you on Apathetic Enthusiasm. I mean, so Sheena and I, we don't really mind driving. When we were first married, she had a manual transmission car, and it was like the only car that we had when we were moving out here for the first time. Mm-hmm. So she drove from like California to Oklahoma the whole way because I didn't know how to drive her car. Like I ended up learning how to drive that, like, after we got married.
That was the Ford that you had for a while.
Ford Focus 05, right. Baby. Yeah. I had it in Hawaii. I had it pretty much the whole time we were in Nebraska. Yeah. So and then finally sold it. Should have kept it. Used car economy? Come on. Am I right?
Do you miss driving a manual transmission sometimes?
No.
Neither do I.
Occasionally.
It's stupid. That's a stupid question.
Like, I have a relatively long commute, but I don't have like bumper to bumper traffic for the most part. Like, the reason my commute is long is because I decided to live very far away from where I work.
Yeah.
Not because of way too many people or I'm like in stop and go traffic, which if that was the case, I would definitely not want a manual transmission. If all things being equal in my car, if I could just swap the transmission to a manual, I would consider that. It would be fun to drive. But that Ford Focus that I had was manual everything.
Manual
door locks.
Let me shift.
Manual windows.
Okay, I got to shift. But also, it's hot in here. Okay, let me
roll that down. Oh, somebody wants to get in the car with you. Let me lean across the passenger seat to unlock it it didn't have power door
lock. It's a whole like, okay, so rub the top of your head, rub your belly, chew gum at the same time, right? You can't do it. No one can do it. It's impossible. Literally, yeah.
No one's ever done it. And if you can find a video of someone doing all those things,
it's fake. It's AI. It's
AI. Sora made it or something.
Sora. I like manual transmission, right? Like, I just like, it's a skill. And I say it's a skill that people will need someday. That's not true. Like, it'll all be automatic sometime in the future.
I feel like we're closer to all of the cars driving themselves with zero input from us than we are to back when everyone drove manual transmission.
Yeah.
Like, we're further away from people shifting than we are closer to just people not knowing how to drive at all.
Yeah, I mean, like even my 63 Corvette, right? Like it's a manual transmission.
Hold on, I think you dropped that. Let me pick that up for you.
63, it's a shitty year of Corvette. No one wants it, but I'll keep it because it's just, you know, it's a decent car. But it's a 4-speed. And, you know, like we're closer to where it looks like it's a manual transmission than it actually is, like where it's just like it's all automated and like you just put your hand on it and then it shifts itself and goes,
really?
No, I mean, no, but I mean, we're closer to that future.
What color is your Corvette?
Paintless.
Okay. Still paintless.
It's still paintless. Yeah.
But what color are you going to paint it?
We're going to do the original color of that particular car, which is like a kind of sky blue.
Oh, okay. So no Prince songs at all times blaring out of.
No, we little my dad and I thought about
blue Corvette.
Okay. No, my dad thought about Ooh, nice koozie. Putting like the vinyl cover on it, like just doing vinyl, like the Teslas do. Yeah. But you still have to paint it first. It's like you have to paint the car first, then you can put the vinyl on. And so if we're gonna do that, just fucking paint it.
Just paint it. Just paint it. Anyway, back to your misogyny. Yes, Sheena did drive almost the entirety. Honestly, she drove the whole trip home except for the last maybe 10 or 15 miles. We had stopped for gas, and then we were going to stop for a car wash because the front of the van was just covered in bugs. And, like, we just driven it a bunch, so it was dirty. And she does not like driving through car washes. So I was like, I'll drive through the car wash. Like, she like, gets worried about lining it up the right way or something. I get it,
but also it's funny to me.
So I drove the entire trip up there, which we left in like the afternoon because we left after the kids got out of school. Drove up there, so it was dark for the later part of the drive, which she's got, what is it, astigmatism or something, where like the lights get all stretched out and stuff. So she doesn't like driving at night anyway. So it kind of worked out that I was just driving in the evening. And then she started to drive on the way home and then just kept driving. And I'm like, I'll drive if you want. Like, hop over there. You need a break. But she cares. She cares a lot about how safe I am when I'm driving. And she's not worried about my driving.
Yeah.
She's worried about everyone else's driving.
Sure. That's what we say. Yep.
And so she gently and kindly lets me know when other people are possibly making dangerous decisions on the road. And so sometimes it's just more relaxing to let her drive where she's in control. She can make the decisions. she doesn't have to reach over and grab the wheel or anything. I love her. She's amazing. And we take turns driving because we're partners in our relationship.
That's right.
And, yeah, but anyway, yeah. So that just gave me, I fell asleep. I took a nap. I edited video. I looked at a bunch of Lorcana cards that are coming out next month. I just had a great time. Stared at rolling fields of stuff.
That's good, man.
Great trip.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you guys get to share that experience and that Sheena drove for once. And you know, like those things are good. Those are lasting memories.
They are. I do want to share one more little story.
Yeah, please do.
Before we talk about your Plex server, whatever you want to talk about.
It's a 10-second conversation for the Plex. So take your time.
When we go back to Omaha, they have like a downtown market area. They call it the Old Market. This is like here they call it Bricktown in Oklahoma, but it's just like the place where they have a bunch of restaurants and shopping and stuff like that. And one of the places that my kids have always liked to go to is this, it's like a Hollywood candy store or something, right? And it's this retro candy store. They have a lot of hard to find
retro candy,
like classic candies,
like
right?
Abba Stuff Zabba.
Abba Zabba's in there.
And W root beer gum, the Sprite gum, 7-Up gum.
They have a whole wall of like bulk candy, a whole wall of Jelly Bellies, a whole like all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. But as you kind of explore
licorice
the
whips.
Store, whips, licorice whips,
M&M's, you know, like yeah. The obscure
Dr. Dre's, like all of them.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah. They're yeah. all the yeah. ice, the ice don't, cubes.
Don't forget about Dre.
The Easy E's, the Method Man's. All those candies,
all those things. But as you go back a little bit further, like they have like collections of old things. There's like a wall of Pez dispensers. There's like just like really fun stuff to look at. And then there's like an antique store that's kind of attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you go further back, they've opened like a pinball museum / arcade where there's really old like classic pinball games, a lot of them not even functional.
Two questions. One, do they have a Twilight Zone pinball machine back there?
I did not see a Twilight Zone
okay,
one.
Okay. The second question is, was Gandalf back there?
I did. The pinball wizard?
Yeah. No. Yeah. There it is. Okay, great.
But I got lots of photos.
And that's it. That's it for tonight.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay.
Going out on a high note. But there is a section where they sell a lot of used vinyl records. So I always like to kind of thumb through those, check out what's available. They usually have them at a pretty good deal. Occasionally they'll package like five of them in just white paper and like a blind bag. And it's just like, pay $6, get whatever vinyl's in here. I think I did that one time, and that's the reason I own a vinyl copy of the 1960-something Republican National Convention. like, there's no way you're moving that record. Nobody's buying that album.
I really want... I want the convention... that lost to Kennedy. That's what's really important to me.
Yeah. It's so I'm thumbing through records. Uh-huh. I'm in the soundtracks. I'm in the holiday music. I'm in the rock, the jazz. I'm in all of it. And people that listen to this, you know, we talk about yacht rock from time to time. We talk about some classic music. We listen to the Yacht Rock XM station when we're going to San Diego Comic Con, I think. Or is it Sirius? I don't know. I don't know what you have.
Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah, it's Yacht Rock on Sirius XM.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the thing. So I'm thumbing through these records and I come across a Christopher Cross record.
Oh, don't care anymore.
The green album with the flamingo on the front.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh wow, like this is great. And it's $4. Or no, it was $5. And I was like, all right, sweet. So I pick it up, and as I pick that one up, immediately behind it, another Christopher Cross, the pink one with the big flamingo as the whole cover. And that one was like $7 or something.
Arthur, he does what he pleases. Okay. Yep.
So I pick these up. I like literally am like going to take a picture. I'm like positioning them on my arm so that I can take a picture of both of them to send to you and be like, the message that I'm drafting in my brain is like, look at these sweet records I'm about to buy that I just happened to find here. And as I'm about to spend $12 for these, the guy that runs the stand is like, hey, you buy both of those, I'll give them to you for $4 a pop. And in my head, I'm thinking, Bro, you just lost out on $4. I was about to spend whatever you had on these records to take them home with me.
I was about to save your business. Now your business is going out of business because you lost out on $4.
Anyway, so I bought them sight unseen and finally got them home, threw them on the record player tonight. They sound great. They original like 78 or something, I think.
Yeah,
these
78,
are.
Maybe yeah. 81. Yeah.
The albums are older than I am. And I don't know how many people go through there and are looking to pick these up, but I was so excited to go home with them. We also bought some random Christmas albums and some other stuff, but always nice to stop in and get some vintage vinyl. Hot tip for you kids that get your record players for, you know, Christmas or whatever. Don't just run over to the Targets and the Walmarts and spend, you know, $35 on Sabrina Carpenter's latest album. Like, you gotta go into those thrift shops. You gotta go into secondhand stores.
Go to your local Goodwill. I mean, people just sell that shit left and right. Where you're like, oh, look, here's Bill Cosby's comedy record. Like, oh, I want to really check this out. I've heard a lot about him. You know, like those types of things.
You know what's funny about that is there was a Bill Cosby album at like the front of one of the stacks. And I was like, I don't even want to look through that stack in case people think I'm like trying to.
Oh, yeah. Bill Cosby. What else? Louis C.K. Let's see who else I can find here. So records are so cool. Like whenever I come across a record that I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, yes, I want that. I try to pick it up. Slightly related. I don't have one of these. I have a record player. I've got a cassette player somewhere. I've got, you know, CD players all over the place nowadays because I'm burning all my DVDs, ripping them. But, a handful of years ago, my aunt died. We don't need to go into that, but she died. I died.
My condolences.
What she left was this kind of case. So
a legacy that can't be denied.
Our video listeners, you'll see Brandon holding some kind of case. And
a dusty case.
A whole dusty case. And inside this case,
snake leather.
Inside this case are 8-track tapes. And let's see. You know, there's not a whole lot of goodness in here, but
wait. As you go through these, you don't happen to have a copy of the Republican National Convention in there, too.
Oh my gosh, that's the second one here. Here's the Grease soundtrack. We've got Chicago X.
Grease is the word?
Yeah, the word. Let's see, top hits of the 50s. Oh, so many good 8-track tapes here. Heat Wave, Too Hot to Handle. Oh, just so good. The Osmonds Live. Shout out to my aunt Loretta, who is dead. So
yeah, shout out Aunt Loretta. What are you gonna do with those things?
I don't, probably nothing. What people don't see on the screen is I have a shrine to death over on just outside of you,
like the Grim Reaper,
kind of. Yeah, but you know, like you know how it's like all the people who I care about that have passed away. I have like little trinkets.
Is this an ofrenda? Part of your Mexican heritage?
I'm not Mexican. Is this? Don't tell my grandma. She'll beat your ass. I'm not Mexican.
Is this the really white guy on the podcast pulling the word ofrenda before you could land on it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So,
and everybody knows it's because he watches the movie Coco and for no other reason.
But I have... Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I've got Max Schauer, Chelsea's grandpa, a wonderful, wonderful dude, passed away. My grandma, my aunt, my uncle, you know, just like remnants of them. I keep them nearby. And so my aunt is gone, but, you know, like keep hearing me.
But yeah,
that guitar over on my wall, that's my Uncle Daniel's. That was his guitar. He smashed it. He broke it probably in a drunken rage, and then tried to fix it up. And so now I have it.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
That Utah license plate is from a Rick and Morty podcast listener.
Who is not dead.
He's still alive. He just sent us his stuff. So
yeah.
Remember me. That's lovely. That's lovely. All right. Well, it's funny. 8 tracks live in a period of time that I have no recollection for. Cassette tapes, absolutely. Records, for sure. I had a Fisher Price record player as a kid. Records were everywhere. I don't recall 8 tracks as a kid. Maybe somebody had some. I really don't remember them much at all. So
eight tracks are the laser discs of the 70s, right?
Sure.
You know, it was a technology that existed. I think people said that 8 tracks were superior to a cassette.
The HD DVD of its time.
Yeah. And then Blu-ray, aka cassette, took over.
Do you know that Taylor Swift released a cassette tape version of The Life of a Showgirl when she released her new album?
No, nor did I care. But also,
But isn't that insane?
I have the cassette of Rick and Morty soundtrack.
Gosh. Just seeing that makes me think of being 10 years old, and just, I don't know. I was still rocking. Yeah, I was definitely rocking cassette tapes when I was 10.
What was the first cassette tape you remember buying or getting?
That is not fair, because technically the oldest interaction I recall having with a cassette tape, was with my Teddy Ruxpin doll. The bear that you would put a cassette tape into its back and it would tell you stories. And when it was Teddy Ruxpin's turn in the story, his mouth would move while he was saying the dialogue.
Which is a pretty good, pretty kick-ass technology if you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I don't remember which cassette tapes I bought for myself. As a kid, geez, I don't know. I didn't really start buying my own music until probably I got a Discman and started buying CDs. But I don't know. I remember doing mixtapes and recording stuff. And I think when I took a cross-country trip with my grandfather when I was in, seventh grade, I didn't have my own music with me, but I had access to a radio with a tape player on it.
Yep.
So I would just listen to local stations. I would find, the rock station or whatever, wherever I was across the country, and then when I would find a song I like, hit record. And then I just built this mixtape with the first 5 seconds of every song missing, right? Because I'm just oh, that's a good one. And then I would just build this, compilation over the course of the trip, where I just have Wonderwall and whatever other songs. So I was like, oh, I know this one. Yeah, let's listen to this one.
You know, talk about bridging technology and still do it to some extent. Where you had you're moving away from where cassette decks in cars were not the standard. You have a cassette deck. Ooh, hey, you're fancy, man. You're fancy. But then eventually CD players started coming out, and you're like, now I have no way to play a CD in the car. I want to play CDs in the car, but I don't. So then they had this technology bridge of the cassette tape that went into the cassette deck. But then the cord came from the CD player. It was plugged into the jack, right? We were like, I want to play this. All right, get your adapter out. We're going to play some like it's weird to think about that of like, yeah, this is a transitionary period where all these cars have cassette decks.
Your car doesn't have a CD player in it? Oh, no. I have a 5-CD shuffler. It's just in the trunk. So if we want to switch out one of the 5 CDs, I got to go open the trunk.
Pull over. pull over. Let me get my CD sleeves out. All right. What do you want to?
We talk about distracted driving now, but like pulling a CD sleeve from behind your passenger seat, thumbing through it to try and find the right CD.
Well, then that
caused that.
Then you have them on your sun visor too, right? Like you'd be you're like, okay, yeah, let me pull out the Gorillaz album, switch that out with.
I definitely had a Third Eye Blind CD hit me in the face one time when I was trying to block the sun. I think that happened, but it is crazy. And I mean, now like we had all that physical media, we had all that just taking up space. I still have tons of CDs that I like made off Napster.
Yeah,
still in this house. I have a giant tub of DVDs that I need to follow in your footsteps and start backing up to, you know, some sort of digital version. But I can't commit to it. It feels like a huge mountain that I just need to take the first step and also spend the money on the NAS.
It's the money part.
It is the money
that kills you. Yeah. So
head over to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Let's do the Buy Travis a NAS campaign.
If you donate at least $100, we'll invite you to our NAS for a month period of time.
Welcome to our Plex server.
So as far as CDs go, music CDs, I started transferring all music CDs a couple, maybe about 6 months ago over like I had a bunch of CDs. I'm like, you know, I don't need to keep all of these anymore, but I want to keep the music. Sure. I can find them on Spotify. I can find them wherever, but like some of them are like, you know, those you burn all these CDs over the years. And for me, like writing music and like even shitty music, I'm like, that's still a phase in my life that I want to save. And sometimes I look back at those songs, I listen to them and I'm like, actually that was pretty good. Like, oh shit. that was pretty good, Brandon. Damn it. Why didn't I do anything with this? Because I was embarrassed about it at the time. So doing a lot of that backup and also like there's a like family videos and stuff like that. I've got like this Christmas Vacation DVD that Lauren Shower burned for us from 2010. Like I want to save all these types of things.
That's the one with Clark Griswold, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, let me tell you a little something. Your boss, Bob, I don't know. I forget the name. Holy shit. Pass me.
Where's the Tylenol?
Where's the Tylenol? So we talked about this last week, getting a network attached storage solution up. Started getting, Plex, setting up a Plex server. And my little journey with it is, so you can use... You start with MKV Maker, and then you use Handbrake to then like compress it down.
Handbrake is still the way, huh?
Yeah. So Here's the thing.
I used Handbrake like 10, 15 years ago, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Travis, is there were too many steps there for me. So I got on a ChatGPT, and I was like, how can I automate this? And I tried a couple different ways to automate it. And then I was like, you know what? Instead of me futzing around with it, I'll just buy some software to do all this shit for me. And so that's what I did. I bought some, it was recommended video proc converter or something like that. So now it's just, I pop the DVD in, I make sure that it has subtitles on it, and then I burn it, rip it, and it goes to my NAS. And I go to Plex and I'm like, sometimes I have to like rematch the title. I'm like, no, this is not Desperado from 1976. This is Desperado from 1995 with Antonio Banderas. And so then they don't fix it and put the art there. And I'm just like, as I'm doing more of it, like systematically, and just every time I come to my computer, I pop another one in, burn it. Then I look at my Plex. I'm like, holy shit, here's all of these movies that I can't find anywhere else. Like, I haven't seen Basket Case, a random horror movie anywhere for watching. I put Cloverfield Lane on there. Just like these random movies, Creepshow, the original Creepshow, not Creepshow 2, like that's on there now. I can watch it anywhere. So I showed Chelsea last night. I'm like, check this out. Look, there they are. Then I'm at work today, and I wasn't trying to watch anything. I was just like, I wonder what it looks like when I go to Plex from my phone at work, right? And I go to Plex. I'm like, holy shit, there's my entire library right there. I can watch all of this stuff. And it's so fucking mind blowing to me. And I know I'm like 20 years late, right?
Yeah. Like this isn't a new realization. Like this technology has been around a hot minute. Yeah.
It's just so fantastic. And Chelsea's like, I've been trying to get you to do this for a while. You know, now you're excited about it because you see it. I'm like, yeah, no, because it's a technology aspect of it. Like, we're both IT guys, but that doesn't mean we do IT normally. Like, I think you've done more IT than I have. Like, you've built computers. I am just like, fucking, I'm lazy. Let me go to Best Buy and buy like the shitty, or Walmart. Let me go to Walmart and buy the bargain bin desktop because it's just faster.
How many bays did you get on your NAS?
It's a 6 bay.
Holy.
Okay. No, it's a 4 bay. Sorry, but I only bought one hard drive so far because I want to expand, but I didn't want to do. It's so much. It's not the NAS that's the expensive thing, man. It's the drives. So the drives are like $200-$300 bucks a pop. I'm like, I cannot justify that until I know that it actually works.
That's fair. I'm looking at some 2 bays online right now, and I'm like, that's a reasonable like entry point maybe for me, like with room to grow, but I didn't think about getting like multiple bays and then just getting like one drive at a time, and then expanding as necessary like that. Because that would work.
Because when I started looking at it, I was like, well, I'll just get all the drives right at the start and in the NAS and let's see what it's looking at. I'm like, $2,000? No. And I almost did. I was like, fuck it, let me just do it. And like, no, because if it sucks and I can't figure it out, then I am going to have spent a lot of money on something that I regret. So
yeah,
like, no, let me start small. And so I went with a Ugreen NAS. It's like I think Synology is a good brand. Ugreen is kind of fairly new or not a super brand name one, but it's cheaper. And so I'm like, okay, we'll start with that. Yeah. If it's good, then maybe I'll upgrade later. And should I just upgrade it earlier? I don't know.
And it's something like you brought up showing Chelsea the accessing the Plex server, right? From being able to get to all those movies from anywhere. And you guys could be on vacation and want to watch a movie that you guys have at home, and you could load it up if you want to. Like, that flexibility exists. But like, it's not just movies. It's not just music. Like, you can set up cloud-based storage for like anything almost. Like, you could like potentially set it up as your own cloud for your photo storage off your phones or things like that. Like, there's so many applications for it when you really start thinking about it. And I'm curious, like, you're dipping your toe in with the Plex and with the movies. Like, is the family on board? Are they like, hey, this is exciting, this is awesome, I'm going to start streaming everything from our Plex? Or are they like, eh, whatever, I'll just load up Netflix still and dad can play with his server?
Well, I mean, I have about like 25 movies on there now. Maybe a little bit less. So it's still, I'm not even out of the
still new,
the seas, still right? Fresh.
Yeah.
But it's so cool to me to be able to see all that stuff and be like, look at what we have. And I say I'm like barely out of the B's and into the C's. Our DVDs have not been organized in years. So I know for a fact there are a ton more A's and B's and C's that I haven't gone through.
That you haven't even gotten to yet.
But it's just like the they are ours. They are our movies. And instead of going out to the storage shed out back and be like, oh, where's that movie? Where's City of Angels with Nicolas Cage? Just a very random movie. I've never actually seen it.
He happens to be in the seas, guys.
Oh, shit. What about Terminator 3? We'll go with Terminator 3. Not Terminator 2 or the original Terminator. Terminator 3 with the Terminatrix. Where is that? Let's go find that. Oh, which bin is it in? Is this underneath all the Futurama stuff? That's in the F's, but that's like, I remember when I packed it. It's kind of, instead of doing that, you just go to Plex and you're like, all right, sort by movies, sort by action. Okay, then alphabetical.
Yeah.
And those are ours already. So like, I know that we have them somewhere and I can just reach out and do it like that. It's a small thing. The other thing I would say is, I was talking to Jeff about this earlier, was there's special features. At first I was like, I want to save all the special features too. Kind of like the thought of saving special features is like, yes, like these are all going to go away. The movies, they'll be there, but the special features, they'll disappear. And then I thought to myself, am I really going to watch these special features?
Hey, ladies, you want to kick it at my crib and watch the special features?
You want to watch this one alternate ending somewhere? Like, it's not canon, but it's alternate.
And I have the director's cut if you guys want to check it out.
So at first I was like, okay, yeah, save another ISO of the entire disc for special features. But now I'm like, I look at the back of the disc. Okay, is there anything here that I would ever go back to? If the answer is no, just get the movie. Get the movie with subtitles.
But this has the Spanish version of the theatrical trailer. Brandon, you're not going to keep that and watch it later?
No, I do. That's one of the ones I care about.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. All right, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, well, man. I'm excited for you. I want to continue and hear about your journey and then eventually get a link to your Plex server.
The last thing I'll say about it is it's basically as close to magic as I will ever get.
Magic, but I mean, you've seen magic in person, have you not?
Oh, no, you're right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, dude, you're totally right. I completely forgot. Yeah, this last weekend, I also went down to LA to the YouTube theater and I watched Penn and Teller for their 50th anniversary.
I watch Magic Penn and Teller on YouTube all the time. What's the big deal?
But this was in person and I didn't have to rip it from a DVD. Hey. Although I do have all of their seasons of Bullshit on DVD.
Were you able to fool them?
Yeah, I was. Okay.
The question everybody wants to know is, did they remember you from the restaurant?
Oh my gosh. I was like, Ben, it's me from the restaurant in San Diego. And he was like, you, I remember you.
Hilton Bayfront, right?
It's so good. Yeah. No.
Saturday?
They brought us on stage and they're like, these are our best friends, Brandon.
Plural. And, and his, I'm assuming, family that he didn't bring to Comic-Con.
So I've seen Penn and Teller once live before. Chelsea and I saw them in Vegas. And so they're 50 years. They've been around for 50 years.
It's crazy.
Performing. So they're doing like a tour across, they did Europe already. Now they're doing across the States. And I was like, I want to see them. So they're down in LA at the YouTube Theater, which is right off of SoFi. But I wanted to take Dexter, because here's the thing with magic. I know it's not magic. And no, I know. I'll give you a second.
I don't even know what to believe anymore.
I'll give you a second. What I've always loved about Penn and Teller is they don't pretend like they're like, yeah, these are all tricks. Like, we know they're tricks. We're saying they're tricks. We're not trying to be like, oh, this is magic. No, it was like, this is all a trick. I appreciate that, of like the performance of like leaning into, this is not magic. Like, we are intentionally tricking you. I love that. So they are my favorite magicians, right? Because
because the illusions are still impressive. Because yes, there's like, when you watch a magician, you're like, how did they do that? Whether or not they're doing it under the guise of, ooh, I am magic, or ooh, I spent way more time figuring out this illusion than you did, and it looks really impressive to you. Like, it's still impressive, and you still don't know how it works, and you're still like, how the heck did they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Chelsea and I went and saw him in Vegas, it's like 10, 15 years ago, they did this one trick. And I say trick, but it's like one of those, like, kind of like street gamblers where they have like the cup and they put the balls under there and they do all that stuff. And like, no matter what you pick, you're going to lose. So the trick that they did was, they were the balls under clear cups. And so they're like, this is how it happens. This is how it works. And even though you know, and you can see where everything is, you're going to see where the sleight of hand is, how quickly all of that stuff happens, and where the misdirects are, where I'm going to distract you, where Teller's going to distract you. And that's impressive to me. You know, being like, I'm open about how I'm going to fuck with you. Here's how we're doing it. So we went down this weekend, and as always, pretty good. Also, like, it's not table magicians, so like, I think this was the first time that Dexter was exposed to like grand illusions, where like there's a stage and like you don't see anything on the stage, and all of a sudden something happens. Like, all of a sudden,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, now there, all of a sudden there's a fucking guy in a gorilla costume on this, sitting on this. Where did that gorilla costume come from? That's trippy, right? So I'm glad he got to see that. It was enjoyable. There was one trick that they did where at the end of it, you're like, that wasn't that impressive at all. And then at the end of the show, what they did was, it was like, there's so many steps and they're like, oh, entropy. And they did this, did that. And you're like, that's not impressive. But then at the end of the show, they were showing it in reverse order. They like had it on a big screen, like in rewind. And everything they did in reverse made sense. And that was really funny. So anyways, yeah. I recommend watching.
I want
watching
you to know, Brandon, that magic is real. It's called Magic the Gathering, and it's super expensive.
Did you just palm that card?
I did.
Damn.
I did.
Damn.
That's right.
Oh, misdirect.
yeah, you're gonna have to check out the YouTube for that content. Anyway, I'm like, I grew up loving those guys and just loving like magic and illusions, and had like the little magic kits as a kid and all that stuff. I always loved doing that stuff because I am very much a, like, I'm into puzzles. I'm into, like, you know, tricks, like what is the effect? How did they pull that off? Like, it's one of the things I love even about just like theme parks and things like that, when they create illusions or like use, you know, audio animatronics and those sorts of things, like, to convey a story or some sort of, like, you know, something that takes you out of the everyday. Like, how do they accomplish that? What goes into that? So that's why I've always really been interested in all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I'm glad you got to do that and got to take Dexter so that he could see that as well.
Yeah. After like the first trick, Chelsea and Dexter are like, oh, how do they do that? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. That's why
it's magic.
That's
Dad.
That's why I'm impressed by it, because like, we went to it's now defunct. It doesn't exist anymore, but Mysterium Dining or something like that. But they, you know, dinner magic show, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is how they're doing it, right? And then Chelsea and Dexter are like, come on, man, don't ruin this for don't ruin the magic for us. Like, we want to be tricked by it. We know it's not real, but we want to be tricked by it too. I think the stage shows for me are so impressive because it's not just Penn and Teller up on stage. And they say this kind of at the end of their show, like, there are so many other people helping out with it. It's a two-man show, but it's a show full of people who are helping out to make sure that trick runs.
So
I don't know how they did a trick. I
just appreciate the creativity, right? Like, all of the steps, you have to like think of the premise, but then you have to like come up with like the engineering, mm-hmm. like the how it all works and the, you know, physical limitations, and okay, like if it's viewed from this direction, is that going to give it away? Like, yeah. how do we fix all these things through it. And then just like the physical aspect of it, of like actually performing it and having to do it the right way, and the timing and the mechanisms of all that is also super.
And they talk about that too, with like all of their crew that they all know by name. They're like, we perform this in front of our crew, and they are there to be like, okay, what if I say this, or what if this person does this, or like, you know, they're giving feedback of like all of the different situations and variables that might happen during a thing. It's just, you know, it is a big deal to put super, on a production like that. So,
and anyway, way more work than either of us ever put into this
podcast.
But with that said, we have completed over an hour of this podcast, and we are very grateful to you for sticking through all of it. Thank you for listening. Send us your voice notes. I was only half joking about those. Go on any social platform of your choosing, and if it allows you to send us a voice note, send us a question, send us a comment, and maybe we'll add it in an upcoming episode. And if you're new here, like, subscribe, do all the things, rate, review, do you know what to do with podcasts to support them. If you are that type of person, we'd appreciate if you support our show as well. Brandon, last thoughts before we get out of here and go record them Swiffle Boys.
Oh, Swiffle Boys. I'm looking forward to that one. I say no. I don't mean to say no, but it's the first word that comes out of my mouth. I just want to say thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. We appreciate day in and day out. Also, I appreciate that you are my boss and you listen to it without me knowing about it. And I haven't said anything bad about you ever. And also, thank you for my bonus. And also, you know, I'm not quitting. I don't have a job interview tomorrow. But if I did, I would turn them down once they give me the money I'm asking for. So anyways, Hassan, thank you for listening. Anyways, everyone else,
That seemed oddly specific. Bye, everybody.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.